podcasts of the WDWNT network are made possible each and every week by listeners like you and the following fantastic sponsors. Magical Travel is an authorized Disney vacation planner and is always ready to assist you in making your next trip to the Walt Disney World Resort, Disneyland Resort, or board the Disney Cruise Line even more magical. You book a trip to the Walt Disney World Resort between November 1st, 2009 and March 27th, 2010, you could purchase 7 nights for the price of 4 at a Disney Moderate or Deluxe Resort. For more information on this special offer and many more, visit MagicalTravel.com and book your next Disney trip today. Resales DVC is your home for Disney Vacation Club resales. Whether you're buying or selling your part in the Disney Vacation Club, Resales DVC is prepared to walk you step-by-step through the process and make sure your experience is as pleasant as possible. For pricing, availability, and more information, be sure to contact Grandma Jackie and Kin at www.resalesdvc.com or by phone at 866-544-2919 to make your vacation dreams come true.
I'm not sponging for rum. It be gold I'm after.
Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-hey.
There's no turning back now.
Like a grand and miraculous spaceship, our planet has sailed through the universe of time.
Put up 2, 5, and 7.
Gorgeous, yeah!
Look at the guy in the goofy mask.
That's not a mask.
Sorry, lady.
I'm sure to do better next time. It was my first flight, and I'm still getting used to my programming.
You made it! I knew you would.
Hi, hello, and welcome. Welcome to our show.
Welcome to the WDW News Today podcast, a variety show dedicated to the Walt Disney World Resort and its many fans. At this time, please welcome your host for a show where anything is possible, Tom Corliss.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of the WDWNT podcast. This is episode 129 for February 1st, 2010. To kick off this week's show, we have the return of the Golden Age. In this controversial discussion featuring Future World Central at Epcot, we will continue our quest land by land, area by area, and space by space throughout the Vacation Kingdom to find what is truly the Golden Age of the entire Walt Disney World Resort. Following that, to wrap up this week's show, we have another edition of Town Square Talk with Mayor Justin Heyman. Filling in for an absent Justin Heyman will be Jason Diffendahl as we give you information on two great upcoming events, one at both the Walt Disney World Resort in Orlando, Florida, and another at the Disneyland Resort in Anaheim, California. This and much more Walt Disney World information and fun awaits you on this edition of the WDW News Today podcast.
Ancient Rome or Greece? Athens or Sparta? Birthday Land or Starland? Let us find out when was the Golden Age of the Walt Disney World Resort.
Well, Welcome to the Golden Age, where we try to figure out somehow, mathematically, what was the Golden Age of the entire Walt Disney World Resort. In order to do that, we're going land by land, area by area, and space by space through the Vacation Kingdom. And tonight, thanks to your voting on the WDWNT Network community forums, we're going to be talking about Future World Central, if you will, at Epcot, including sort of the Spaceship Earth area and Communicore / Inventions. Joining me for this segment, Mr. Scott Smith.
Good tidings, everyone.
Yes, my Vinylmation Station co-host now, Scott.
Yes,
Smith.
Excellent podcast. Everyone should check it out.
Go check it out. It's coming out this week. Mr. Anthony Aculo.
Hello.
Banks Lee.
Hello, podcast listeners.
And Mr. Jason Divendahl.
Hey, howdy, hey.
Wow, I don't think we ever introduced Jason last. That's a rarity.
I'm offended.
Yes.
I quit right now.
That's offensive. Anyway. if you didn't listen to the parade, you didn't get that. So let's move on. The Golden Age, this is going to be a tough one, of course. All of us here have a deep love for classic Epcot, and nothing screams classic Epcot like Spaceship Earth, and it's involved in this particular Golden Age. So let's talk about the individual eras. As usual on this segment, our panel is going to pick one of the selected eras, and based on the popular response, the most popular response, we'll pick that as the Golden Age, and then that number is going to go into our grand equation that is eventually going to lead us to figuring out what is the Golden Age of the entire Walt Disney World Resort. So here are the eras. First of all, opening up with Epcot in 1982 era, we have the original Spaceship Earth. We have Communicore, along with everyone's favorite, the Astuder Computer Review. We have the Camera Shop and Gateway Gifts opening underneath Spaceship Earth. You have the beloved Centaurium Store, now where Mouse Gear is. And you have the beloved glass fountain out in the front of Spaceship Earth. You then walk into the 1986 era, which has Spaceship Earth being updated, the beloved song Tomorrow's Child added to the attraction, as well as the beloved narration of Mr. Walter Cronkite. In 1994, we bring about the Jeremy Irons edition of Spaceship Earth with AT&T. We have the very first edition of Inventions, the update to Communicore, the addition of the Art of Disney store, you have the Fountain View Bakery and Espresso coming on board, you had that little pizza, fast food pizza place that was behind Fountain View, I don't remember the name anymore of that, but nonetheless it was there.
It was Piazza Presto or something like that?
Pizza Piazza, something like that.
Something along those lines, yeah.
Something with Z's.
It was there for a few minutes, regardless. You also have the Electric Umbrella Restaurant coming about. In the 1999 era, you have the beloved Millennium Wand appearing on the side of Spaceship Earth. You have Inventions moving to the Road to Tomorrow theme with some new exhibits. The addition of Pin Central directly behind Spaceship Earth. Mouse Gear replaces the Centaurium as the big store for Epcot. You have Ice Station Cool coming on board from Coca-Cola. And you have Leave a Legacy and the New Fountain out in front of Spaceship Earth at the Epcot Park entrance. And then finally, we have what is now the 2008 era, where we have Siemens' version of Spaceship Earth. We have an all-new Inventions, calling it Inventions Version 3. And we have Club Cool replacing Ice Station Cool. And finally, Fountain View no longer a bakery, now an ice cream parlor. So quite an evolution, 5 eras to choose from. I know this is probably just going to come down to the version of Spaceship Earth, but I may be wrong. So nonetheless, let's start with Scott Smith. Scott, what do you think was the Golden Age of this area?
For me, the Golden Age of this area needs one factor first and foremost, and that is my favorite version of Spaceship Earth, which is the Jeremy Irons version. I love that Spaceship Earth. That version is the definitive version in my mind. His narration was just so cool and gave that attraction really the weight and the gravitas it deserves. And it just brought such a classic feel to a classic attraction. Every line was enunciated and performed perfectly. And, you know, it's the best. It's the best Spaceship Earth, in my opinion. So for me, I'm going to pick 1994 because that's also when Innovations opened. And I really, really enjoy Innovations. Inventions. The home of Innovations.
I really enjoy places I can remember the names of.
I do. I mean, come on. They named it like that on purpose. You can't blame me. I love Innovations. I think it's a great place to spend a lot of time. It's gotten much, much better over the years. The first version was not my favorite. I remember liking a lot in it. I remember the magic carpets were in this one, right? The first one?
Well, that that opened, I believe, actually before it was in Avengers. At the end of the Communicore era, they added that that Walt Disney Imagineering exhibit where they sort of took you on a virtual ride through Agrabah from Aladdin. But yeah, that certainly falls into this era.
Yeah, I remember it during Interventions, but yeah. I wasn't a huge fan. Well, I guess I was as a kid, but I wasn't a huge fan of just the video games around. Like, there was just a wall of Sega Saturns or something.
Yeah.
And it's evolved beyond that, but
Sega was a big, big, big part of the original Interventions. Yeah, but they had picking a huge piece of the floor.
Yeah, but picking one of the next 2 hours means losing something like either 2008 losing Jeremy Irons or 99 having a giant wand on it, which I really hated. And, you know, I really don't like Leave a Legacy at all. I think it's really ugly. So I need the Jeremy Irons narration, and I really like Interventions. And, you know, Art of Disney came along in this era, which is an amazing store. Always, always great to just walk around in there. So 94 for the win for me.
There you go. Anthony Aculo, what are you taking?
I'm going to take 1994 also. I could basically repeat everything that Scott said. No stupid Leave a Legacy gravestones out in front of.
Please, Anthony, let us know how you really feel.
Well, they are. They're just kind of eyesores.
Yeah.
No gaudy one that says Epcot. I had no problem with it.
Well, if we're picking 1999 era, that would be the 2000 one. So,
I don't like the 2000. I don't like the later one. The 2001 I was fine with. The beginning of Interventions, I know the beginning wasn't necessarily the best era of Interventions, but it's definitely its growing period.
A move in the right direction.
And like Scott's, yeah, a definite move in the right direction. As Scott said, very, very, very iconic narration by Jeremy Irons, and oh my god, the music on that ride.
Yes, 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 yes.
The ending music is some of my most favorite Disney music ever.
How about that stuff you could actually see at the end of the ride? How about that?
Well, that too. There's actual stuff to look at the end of the ride.
Yeah.
Well, I love the current edition. The ending leaves a little bit to be desired.
A little bit.
I think all this adds up.
You're being awfully nice.
yet he'll trash the Leave a Legacy.
Yeah. You gotta pick your battle.
You can choose your battles.
Yeah, especially tonight. You gotta pick between the wand, Leave a Legacy, and the current Spaceship Earth. It's a very tough decision.
I think all that together makes for 1994 being the golden age of Future World Central, as you called it.
Mr. Banks.
It's hard to add on to everything that's been said because I'm also going with 1994. I'm not going to try to repeat everything that's been said because I agree with everything that they've said. I'll add that the glass statue that used to be on the fountain in front of Spaceship Earth, I remember loving that statue as a kid. Interventions, I loved it when I was there as a kid. There's a giant wall of race cars that you could ride. I remember doing that over and over and over again as a kid, and just the general area in 1994 was great. The whole Future World 1994 was awesome. But you know, I don't want to repeat what they've already said because I agree with everything they've said. So I'm also going to go with the 1994 era.
There you go, Jason Diffendahl. Let's go for the sweep, shall we?
No, thank you.
Great.
had to be a rep.
So basically everything everybody else said about how great the 1994 version is, all you have to do is replace Jeremy Irons with Walter Cronkite in those statements, and that goes for the 1986 version as far as I'm concerned. I think Jeremy Irons was a really good version of Spaceship Earth, but I think really the defining era of Spaceship Earth was when Walter Cronkite came in 1986, because that really sort of put the emphasis on that attraction as a significant attraction. You know, before then, it wasn't It was a significant attraction because it was when you entered the park, but I think with Walter Cronkite coming on board, it really gave it some significance. So that coupled with the fantastic music at the end, as people were mentioning, of the 1986 version with Tomorrow's Child, one of my top three favorite songs of all Walt Disney World music. That alone, those two things alone really forced me to choose the 1986 version. I mean, everything else that everyone else was saying about it was before Leave a Legacy, you still had the acrylic fountain in front of Spaceship Earth, you still had some of the water features around Communicore in the backside, you still had some of the traditional original Communicore exhibits. You also had the Centaurium with its multi-level shopping experience, which has not been replicated anywhere else.
Yeah.
Probably due to the Americans with Disability Act, but, you know, it was still kind of cool. So there's a number of reasons. I mean, realistically, the 1982 and the 1986 are pretty much similar with the exception of the changes to Spaceship Earth. So, you know, in 1994, there came a lot of changes to Communicore. And actually, Communicore was one of my favorite spots, too, just because of the fact that you could play with a lot of technology that wasn't really available anywhere else. And I mean, simple things like computers, you know, people didn't have. And Communicore was one of the places where you could go play with them. And there was a number of different opportunities in that area. One of them, I think, was where you put together a roller coaster type of thing or something like that. There was one where you were, like, drilling for oil that tied in with the universe of energy. So there were, like, really
Energy Exchange, which was actually sponsored by Exxon. So they didn't have their exhibit at the post-show Universe Energy. They actually had it in Communicore.
Right. And I mean, so you had things like the Epcot Outreach, which had all kinds of information on Epcot Center. You had FutureCom, which was a lot of interactive exhibits. Mm-hmm. There was definitely a lot of stuff there that was, for its time, you know, for 1982 or 1986, was very advanced. And, you know, I think that's one place where interventions, at least, you know, a couple years ago, they're starting to get better, but interventions really has been lacking in my mind in displaying the cutting edge of technology.
Yeah.
And honestly, that's because technology changes so much faster nowadays than it did in 1982.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I mean, there's technology in interventions that's really outdated, and it's hard to keep up, you know, as we've talked about many times with Tomorrowland even. You know, it's hard to keep up with the changes to technology, but, you know, and a lot of it has to do with sponsors, too. Like, Where's the Fire is kind of neat, but it has nothing to do with showcasing technology.
Yeah.
Velcro
has a little bit more than to do with technology than that does.
Yeah. and Velcro was invented when? In the 70s or something?
Yeah.
But anyway, so yeah, just the original Communicore and all of the actual fun, but still educational and technologically cutting edge exhibits, along with Walter Cronkite and Tomorrow's Child. It's clear from my mind that 1986 for me was the golden age.
All right, so we have three 1994s, one 1986. Well, this is already over. 1994 has won.
Yay! Now,
yeah.
So Tom's going to pick 1999 with the wand, I believe. Yeah. Is that right?
I actually came very close to picking 1999, not because of the wand. This was tough because I feel in this segment, more than any other Golden Age we've done before, at least in my opinion, the best of certain items was really in different eras. 1994 Spaceship Earth, we've said it a million times on this show. By far my favorite version of that ride. Quintessential Epcot attraction. Jeremy Irons, in my opinion, the best narrator that attraction has ever had. Beyond that, the finale was truly inspiring and motivating, and really was something special. The finale was my favorite part of that ride, the descent. I really, really liked, you know, the look at future technology. Sure, it was getting a little dated, but in 1994, that finale was very, very cool. You know, how the kids were learning about, you know, all these different things on the giant screen, and you had the Pepper's Ghost effect, which showing all these people talking on video screens everywhere, and you have the two kids from two different parts of the globe talking on the computer, and you know that was very, very cool for 1994, and in a way they predicted the future very accurately with that 1994 Spaceship Earth, something they haven't done with Tomorrowland ever at any Disney park. So congratulations to 1994 Spaceship Earth on that. So it's been said a million times, 1994 version of Spaceship Earth, phenomenal. Now, Interventions was tough because I don't really think Communicore was great. I don't think the first version of Interventions was great. I think the Road to Tomorrow Interventions was even worse than the first version. I think the Interventions we have right now is far and away the best that space has ever been.
I agree completely, especially with some of All Thrills, like an actual
That space ride. Has never been truly, maybe the Sega area in 94. But other than that, I have never seen Interventions considered a cool place to go in. And now there's a lot of families that go inside Interventions. I remember that place being a ghost town the last 10 years. And now you go in there and there's people everywhere.
Especially in the Road to Tomorrow one. That was empty.
Yeah, well, that's because it was too dark and people thought it was closed.
Yeah, the first
doors were dark and then you go inside and it's dark inside.
One thing I miss about Communicore, the only thing I miss about Communicore is the fact that the windows all looked out into the park. All those walls you see were glass, and you could look into, you know, you could look out to the fountain, you could look out towards, the World of Motion side.
It made it a much more light and airy sort of feeling inside of there, and that's probably why people, it was such a shock with Interventions being so dark. Yeah. It was just a very drastic change.
Well, the first version had a lot of neon lights and stuff going on. It definitely felt very busy, which helped. The Road to Tomorrow version felt like a dark wasteland.
What a way to represent the Road to Tomorrow.
Exactly.
Tell us how you really feel.
Yeah. The Road to Tomorrow version of Interventions, awful.
It was like the apocalypse. Absolutely awful.
Yeah. But Interventions of today, very good. But again, Interventions version 1, probably second to that. 1994 has a lot of other great stuff. The Art of Disney. I know, you know, Disney stores, buy Disney stuff. I like Art of Disney. I shop in there a lot. It's a really great store. As well, at 1994 era, you still had the Centaurium, which was a phenomenal store. And Mouse Gear is a phenomenal store, too. So I like both of those. I can't pick between the two of those. But I think, all in all, it really came down to 1999 had some stuff that wasn't great. Interventions Road to Tomorrow wasn't great. And Leave a Legacy isn't great, and The Wand wasn't great, so I had to go with 94 too.
I'm noticing a little something here. For you, me, Scott, and Anthony, I assume we all grew up in the late 80s, early 90s, when most of our members are from the 90s. So we grew up with the 1994 version of Epcot, so that's what we remember the most as a kid falling in love with.
You're exactly right. Yeah, you're exactly right, Banks. And we've talked about this a couple of times when Spaceship Earth comes up on the show. You know, in the past 3 years or whatever, that I grew up with the 1986 version. And I think that plays a very large role in why the 1986 version is my favorite and the 1994 version is all you guys' favorite. So I don't hold anything against you that you missed out on the best version of Spaceship Earth and all you have to go on is what you've experienced, which is the second best version.
But I think those of us that like the Irons version don't hate the Cronkite version. I think, Jason, you don't hate the Irons version.
No, absolutely not.
Yeah. They were both very good.
That's a great point. That's something where you can argue about how, we don't know the real truth because it's nostalgia clouding our vision. But the fact of the matter is both versions are great. Like, there are certain attractions that you can't say the old one is better. You can't say the new one is better. Yeah. Like, you can't, like, Journey to the Imagination, no matter how, like, even kids who grew up on this one, if they had any inkling or if anyone showed them anything from the original, would still agree the old one is better. So, like, the Haunted Mansion.
I think a good example is Pirates.
Yeah.
Because Pirates, they added a lot, but they didn't really change what the core attraction was. So, you know, I don't think anyone here is going to pick one version over the other because they're, you know, they're quintessentially the same. It's just, you know, a layover.
Same
which,
thing.
Which is pretty much what the Spaceship Earth thing was. It was a, you know, a layover updating that ride. It didn't take anything away from the original. It really added to it where, you know, 2008, we kind of took away some scenes that were in the end and put little screens on the vehicles. So, not that the interactive elements of the new Spaceship Earth aren't really cool. They are. The problem is you eliminated physical living show scenes for digital triangles. Little screens.
It's
on,
really underwhelming.
And triangles, yeah.
The triangles, don't even talk about the triangles. Because no one looks at them. Because they have these screens. The real problem is that there's no reason why the little video you have at the end of Spaceship Earth could not have been done in the post-show area.
That's right.
Because yeah, it's in Interventions at Disneyland, you can go make the end of Spaceship Earth at Epcot. So why do we have to ride through that in Florida?
And honestly, some of the stuff that's in the post-show of Spaceship Earth is better than those little videos.
Oh, absolutely. I think all the games there are much better than all the, you know, that little video you can make at the end of Spaceship Earth.
And we've talked about this before, too, where this is the only instance where they've ripped out a third of an Omnimover attraction to put in a post-show still in the attraction.
Yeah.
It feels like a babysitter. And I think that's the real problem. Like, it might be cool technology, but if it's underwhelming, it feels like they're just throwing something in front of your face until the ride is over.
The bottom line is that to normal guests today, the ride ends at the top of Spaceship Earth when you look back at Earth from the moon. That's the end of the ride, technically. Now, I mean, basically, you just come back down and watch your little film at the end, and that's it now.
Yeah.
You know, so basically that ride has been shortened in all actuality.
Just like Imagination.
Yeah. Oh, it was actually shortened, yeah. Never mind, dismantled.
Well, this luckily has not had actually any track removal, so if enough people complain, maybe they will put something back in.
Well, luckily the first half of the ride, the Imagineers did a phenomenal job on the first half of that attraction. It looks great. The problem is the descent.
Yeah, and I mean, And that's even more upsetting is that they did such a good job on the first half.
Yeah.
It's even more disappointing what happened on the descent.
Yeah. And then whoever wrote the script that Judi Dench reads.
Oh, that was...
But that can be changed easily.
Yeah.
All you have to do is you have to just put one of your other scripts in your iPod and listen to it on the ride.
That or we could just get Jeremy Irons to re-record, you know, a new script. That would work.
Sure, if we pay him enough, he'll do it.
Sure.
Well, you can. I wouldn't even mind Judi Dench if they had somebody writing the script that didn't dumb it down for sixth graders.
Yeah. I think the problem is you took a ride that was built to tell the story of communication, and you tried to change it to just the story of technology, and it doesn't really work that way. That ride was built to be the story of communication, and you know, when you try and take that away from that ride while trying to keep, you know, all those older scenes, it doesn't work. You can't just...
And they did do a reasonable job convincing you that some of those scenes are actually technology-related and not communication-related.
Yeah.
Because some of the scenes, in fact, a fair amount of them, were kind of amenable to that change.
Yeah.
But,
like the printing press kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, all kinds of things. The printing press, even hieroglyphics. I mean, you know.
Yeah, the movie segment and the getting to the moon, like that all works fine.
And
there.
And even, you know, changing out the video phone segment for the, the garage scene.
It's still good. It's still very good.
I mean, the internet is a massive means of communication.
Yeah.
Just look at us right now. We're all talking to each other from different states. I mean. Yeah. So most of those scenes.
Look next to you, Scott. We're not there.
What? I'm alone.
The overall idea of technology and the idea of communication as a specific form of technology are closely enough related that they could go back to the original meaning of the ride pretty easily. What's difficult is when, like you said, they rip out physical aspects of the ride and put nothing in their place, and there's nothing to look at, whether or not it told the story of technology or communication or whatever. I mean, the little model of Spaceship Earth with the fiber optic lights coming out of it didn't really have a whole lot to do with communication. It didn't really have a whole lot to do with technology either, but it sure was a heck of a lot better than what's there now.
Yeah. Sure looked pretty. Oh, it looked great.
Yep. So everyone,
I like
made
how we tried to decide the Golden Age, and then we did, and then went on for 10 minutes.
It needed to be done.
Well, yeah.
I think it comes up about once every 8 or 10 months on this podcast.
Yeah.
So we were due.
Yeah, absolutely.
we're gonna get reviews now. It's like, we get it. Stop talking about Spaceship Earth.
We're going to start a new podcast on the network, the We Hate New Spaceship Earth podcast.
The Spaceship Earth Journey to Imagination podcast.
I was going
to
say, the Worst Refurbishments podcast.
Oh, man.
It's like the World's Worst.
World's Worst. Oh, wow. So anyway, getting back to the Golden Age. Well, that's basically why no one picked 2008, in case you were wondering. Even though Interventions may be great now,
yeah.
I think Spaceship Earth's a slightly bigger part of the picture as well. And one thing we leave out of 94, the first global neighborhood was actually kind of cool at the exit of Spaceship Earth. So that, and even the new global neighborhood, which is another reason why 94, 99 was hard to pick between. But I think
half of the global neighborhood was closed.
Yeah. Well, there was two global neighborhoods. The first one was 94, and the second one came around 1999, and then that didn't last very long either, and yeah. So, again, I think at the end of the day, the reason pick 94 over 99 is because of the wand and leave a legacy, and I think that's really the only reason. And maybe because Interventions was slightly better in 94. So
Club Cool's a little weird, too.
Ice Station Cool was extremely weird.
Yeah, the
entering underneath that construction vehicle and going and seeing a frozen caveman
with a Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
It was basically
that really falls along the same lines as, you know, what the Living Seas used to be before the refurb. And it was a really painful way to get to where you wanted to go.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially. And you know, people avoided that and just went in the back door Ice Station Cool, just like they did at the Living Seas when they wanted to get into the main part of the thing without going through the convoluted entranceway.
Yeah, you couldn't do that at Living Seas, though, was the problem.
Well, you could.
How? You had what you call it on both ends. You had the hydrolators at the
hydrolators
and the exit.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
you break in, obviously.
Later on, near the end of the old Living Seas, they removed the hydrolators at the end.
They removed the hydrolators at the end.
That was the only way in for a while they were building Seas with Nemo and Friends. But, so Club Cool, I think, is a vast improvement on Ice Station Cool, I think. But again, 94, for various reasons, I think I put over 99, but it was close. It was definitely close between the two. And with that, we have decided that the golden age of the, I guess we say Future World Central, is 1994.
It's time to see what's going on around the WDWNT family of websites and make some town square talk. To fill you in on all of this week's announcements, please welcome Mayor Justin Heyman.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Town Square Talk. This is not Mayor Justin Heyman joining you today. This is, you can call me the Lieutenant Mayor, maybe. Jason Diffendahl here, filling in for Mayor Justin today.
Or the Beard. The beard, as we often call you.
The Beard. Filling in for
Or the governor. I believe last time you did this segment, we called you the governor.
Was that it? Okay.
Yeah. That's Governor Jason.
Your choice. Bingham. Whatever you like to call me. As long as it's not nasty. So today in Town Square Talk, we're going to fill you in, as we always do, on the happenings around the WDWNT network of websites and podcasts. And what we're going to talk about this week is two very fun, very big fan events coming up. One at Walt Disney World and one at Disneyland. So
West Coast and East Coasters alike, there's an event for you.
That's right. And so we'll talk about the West Coast event first. And as you may have heard, WDW Celebrations, of which Tom and I are a part, is putting on an event for Disneyland's 55th anniversary on July 17th this summer. That event is actually going to span several days. It's going to start on Wednesday afternoon, which is July 14th, and run through Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, the actual anniversary day. We've got a big schedule full of fan meets, fun activities like our scavenger hunt and our history walk, as well as some surprises that we're going to pop into the schedule as well. So if you want more information on 55, the WW Celebrations commemorative event, you can head over to our website at www.wdwcelebrations.com, or you can click on the WW Celebrations logo on any of the WWNT web pages.
Webcast, yeah.
I don't even know what a webcast is.
Yeah, there I don't go. Know, but the websites will have that logo. Yes, our renewed partnership with WDW Celebrations here at the WDWNT Network. We're very excited to be helping out with those events again. And, of course, those of you wondering what WDW Celebrations is, in case you've been living under a rock for a little while, it started as the fan group that put together that fan celebration of Epcot's 25th anniversary back in 2007. And that group has celebrated Animal Kingdom's 10th anniversary in 2008. And, of course, Disney's Hollywood Studios' 20th anniversary in 2009, among some other events. And I hear there's more events, more announcements of events coming very soon.
There will be some more announcements coming very soon, so stay tuned. WWCelebrations.com, you can sign up for our newsletter there, or you can find us on Facebook and become a fan to hear about the upcoming events that we're going to be announcing very soon. And all right, so Tom, why don't you tell us about this WDWNT The Weekend coming up?
Yeah, Not to be confused with the upcoming ESPN The Weekend, no. But WDWNT The Weekend we told you last summer about, and it's our first ever fan event at the Walt Disney World Resort for the WDWNT Network. We told you it was going to be really exciting. We've been talking about the tentative schedule a lot. Well, finally, registration opened about 2 weeks ago, maybe. Something like that. We finally opened up registration for the event, and it is filling up quickly. Registration for the event is unfortunately not free. The reason it is not free is because we need to mail you credentials for the event. So those of you who have already heard us sell you this event previous times on this show, you know about this event quite a bit. And if you can attend, registration open now at wdwntheweekend.com. Again, it's $8 fee for adults, $3 for children. This is a nonprofit event, mind you, so that fee goes into sending you your credentials and also purchasing your credentials, so purchasing things we'll need for the event and for your enjoyment during the event. Again, nonprofit event, even though there are sponsors and such involved. But for those of you who don't know about WDWNT The Weekend, again, it's a fan event for the WDWNT Network at Walt Disney World. There's a tentative schedule up on WDWNTTheWeekend.com. Not only is it about fan meets and group rides and group meals and things of that sort, there's also a lot of once-in-a-lifetime sort of opportunities, like the Group Undiscovered Future World Tour. We're working on getting a customized Future World Tour around Epcot that'll take you places that the normal Future World Tour does not. We're also talking about doing things like there's this live breakfast and podcast event in I guess the breakfast is
I was gonna say that's a lot better than a pre-recorded breakfast.
Yes, it's a webcast. Anyway, it's a breakfast and WDWNT live podcast. It's going to be inside the Seas Lounge at Epcot. So very nice lounge in the Seas with Nemo and Friends Pavilion. Beautiful, beautiful venue. We're going to have a great catered breakfast. And for the first time ever, live with an audience, we're going to do a podcast. So it's going to be your opportunity to actually be a part of the show live and actually witness it. And of course, we'll be walking around the venue and actually letting you be in that particular episode. That's going to air right here on the show after the event. So a great opportunity there. Should be a lot of fun. There's other things working on, like Toy Story Midway Mania team competition, where teams of two will compete for prizes. And there's all sorts of fun things like that we're working on for WDWNT the weekend. And I'm telling you, it is not going to be an event you'll want to miss. So much great stuff going on for that. Again, if you want to see the full tentative schedule as of right now, WDWNTTheWeekend.com. More information can be found there. Sign up for the event newsletter. You'll be the first to know about happenings with the event as they develop. And as well, as I said before, registration open. It's Walt Disney World Resort, August 26th through the 29th, 2010. If you can be there, please join us. I promise you will not regret it. And for those of you who collect Disney pins, also note that this is the weekend of the Walt Disney World pin celebration. The annual pin celebration is the same weekend, and we're going to be announcing some special things in conjunction with that as well as we get closer to the event. So not only is it a great opportunity to come hang out with us and fellow Disney fans, there's also a big Disney event going on the same weekend. So it'll be a busy time and a fun time for all that come. And we're really looking forward to August and WDWNT the weekend.
Tom, that's awful convenient that it's the same weekend as the pin celebration. You're not a pin collector by any chance, are you?
Yes, I know. Well, again, a big part of the WDWNT network is the Disney Pincast. That's the only podcast dedicated to Disney pin trading. So we want to make sure there's something for our pin trading audience. But don't fear if you don't like pins. That's not the only thing on the schedule. There is a ton of other stuff on the schedule. Something for everyone in our WDWNT network audience. The idea is no matter what show you listen to, even if you don't listen to the podcast, you just visit the website. If you don't visit the website, you just listen to the podcast. There's something for you, and there's an opportunity to not only meet the staff of this website, but more importantly, have a lot of fun at Walt Disney World with fellow Walt Disney World fans.
Sounds like fun. I can't wait. And I think that will do it for this week's edition of Town Square Talk with Deputy Mayor The Beard. Check back with us next week, and maybe by then Mayor Justin will be back in the saddle.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, it looks like that is going to do it for episode 129 of the WDW News Today podcast. As always, I would like to thank you for listening. You make the show possible and absolutely worth producing each and every week. It's now time for the big finish, giving you all of the useful reminders you'll need to know in the coming week. First of all, to contact us here at the show with any questions, suggestions, comments, or concerns, you can email us at wdwnewstoday@gmail.com or leave us a voicemail message at 206-666-2982. If you have not done so already, please leave us a review on iTunes. It's a great way to let others know about the show. Be sure to visit the WDWNT Network community forums to vote for upcoming segments and to view the show notes for this and previous episodes. That's at wdwnewstoday.com/forums, F-O-R-U-M-S. Don't forget to follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/WDWNT. As well, you can make me a friend on Facebook at facebook.com/WDWNT. While over on Facebook, don't forget to join the WDWNT Network Facebook group. Do not forget about WDWNT The Weekend, quickly approaching August 26th through the 29th, 2010, at the Walt Disney World Resort. For more information and to register, registration is open, do so at wdwntheweekend.com. We talked about a little bit in Town Square Talk, but again, registration filling fast, so go register as soon as possible if you know you can join us. Coming up on next week's show, going to be an exciting one. We already have this segment in the can already, and I could tell you it might be the most memorable segment in the history of this show. It's the debut of a new segment we're calling the Top 10. It's a 10-part segment we're doing just this year. It's Top 10 Attractions next week. It is 2 hours of hilarity and arguments and a lot of fun. So definitely check out next week's show. Again, probably one of the most memorable segments we've ever produced here. Since I just previewed next week's show, that means that this week's is over, and I can end it with the corniest catchphrase in all of podcasting.
That's going to do it for this week. See you all next week. See ya real soon.
When you find the dream inside your heart, anything is possible.
Dreams come true. Dreams come
Thank you for listening to the WDW News Today podcast. Be sure to join us again next week and visit the entire WDWNT network online at WDWNT.com. This is Brian Summer saying good night and have a pleasant tomorrow.
Wherever you may go.